May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be ever acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Biblical scholar Mark Douglas notes in his commentary on this passage in the Gospel of Matthew, the story of the 10 bridesmaids, that really when you look at this story, there is not really that much that separates the wise bridesmaids from the foolish bridesmaids. All 10 of them show up on time. All 10 of them come carrying lamps. All 10 of them know who they're waiting for. All 10 of them call him Lord. In fact, the only difference between the wise bridesmaids and the foolish bridesmaids is that the wise bridesmaids come prepared to wait. He writes, "The only difference between the wise and foolish virgins is this. The wise virgins are prepared for the wait and therefore bring extra oil. So while the foolish virgins are out searching for a 24-hour convenience store that stocks lamp oil, the bridegroom and the wise virgins begin the wedding feast and the doors are shut." What does it mean to arrive prepared to wait? In Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, he addresses a gathering of believers who are struggling with the fact that they have been waiting for the coming of Christ, and it isn't happening as fast as they expected. Some of them have died while they were waiting, and they are afraid that that means that those they love are going to be left out of the kingdom of heaven. And Paul reassures them that that's not true. That in fact, those who have died will even get to heaven, will even get into Christ's presence a little bit faster than people who are still living when Christ comes. Despite the ways in which this story has been used in movies and books to create a terrifying image of being left behind, Paul is envisioning a glorious reunion in which everybody finally gets invited into the feast. But, Paul realizes, it's not happening right now. The Thessalonians are going to have to wait. But, he says, he wants them to wait not as people who have no hope, but as people who understand that that promise of the coming kingdom of God will be fulfilled. 2,000 years on, we're still waiting. We are still waiting on the coming of the kingdom of heaven. We are still hoping for Christ to come and set everything right. And let's face it, we are not a people very good at waiting. I get frustrated when it takes 30 long seconds to load a web page that I want to shop on. We are not people who are naturally good at waiting patiently. If you've ever come to a full stop at a stop sign and almost gotten rear-ended, you know that we are not alone in that. We are all in a hurry. We are all in a rush. We want things now. We want things done now. And who can blame us? Because when we look around at the world, there is an awful lot that needs redeeming. There are so many broken places in the world and in our lives, and done it all, why is it taking so long? A couple of weeks ago, I had a wonderful breakfast with a member of the diocesan staff who had asked me if we could meet to talk about what the diocese was offering in the areas of racial reconciliation and what those opportunities are. And I had a really good conversation with her. We talked about our Lenten series and about some of the work we did then and about the programs the diocese offered. And then Diane looked at me and she said, "So, what do you think St. Mark's is ready to commit to?" And then I looked at her and I said, "Diane, 2 years ago I was supposed to fix the climate. Last year I was supposed to solve immigration. I don't know how much more energy we've got." These are, we can add to that list. We want to deal with the problems of gun violence. We want to deal with the problems of loneliness. We want to help our children who are having an epidemic of stress and anxiety. We want to resolve the opioid crisis and the despair and hopelessness that feed those. And we could go on all day about the things that need fixing, the things that need to be solved. And I think maybe today's parable has a lesson in it for us. Because the truth is, none of these problems are things that we are going to solve quickly or easily. We took on climate change 3 years ago, and it doesn't actually have seemed to have fixed the problem. Last year, our retreat in September, as wonderful as it was, has not resolved issues of immigration in this country. And even though we are indeed going to engage in work around racism and racial reconciliation, I think I will be standing up here next year and I will not be saying, "See, what we undertook has solved the problem of race relations in America." None of these tasks that we take up are things that we can, through a couple of programs or a couple of meetings, actually solve and put on the shelf and say, "Aha, now the kingdom has come in all its fullness." So what are we to do? Well, I think maybe we need to be like the wise bridesmaids, and we need to come prepared to wait. That waiting is not a passive waiting of sitting around hoping somebody else will tackle the problem. It is rather the kind of waiting that comes when you know you are entering into a space which will take patience and persistence, and not weeks or months, but years and decades and maybe generations before it's fully solved. We have to enter into these spaces realizing that there are no quick fixes. That in fact, the only time likely all of these things will be fully redeemed and healed and cured is when the kingdom of heaven comes in all of its fullness, when the bridegroom arrives and invites us to the wedding banquet. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't fill our lamps with some oil and trim our wicks and let our lights shine as we wait for that day, as we work for that day, as we keep seeking after, not as people without hope, but as people who know that the kingdom is going to come, that the redemption of the world is going to happen, that our divisions will be healed, so that we can live in that space in between. That space in which we know that God has begun his work of redeeming the world, and before that work is complete, so that we can live as people with hope, so that we do not grieve as those without hope, so that we do not surrender to despair, because faithful waiting leads to persistence, and persistence leads to better days. Persistence leads to an opening of the door and an opportunity for little bits of the kingdom to break through. Persistence is how we fill our lamps with oil. Persistence is how we become wise enough to be ready when the bridegroom comes. We are called not to passive waiting to be snatched up into the clouds, but for the kind of waiting that recognizes that there is going to be a reunion and joyful opportunity when the bridegroom comes and finally completes the work that we have already started, that he already began in the resurrection of Christ, and now leads to us to keep working on, keep waiting for, because we do not wait as people without hope. Amen. Amen.